Welcome to our Clothed with the Sun daily podcast, our reading and meditation on the gospel of the day. This is Charles Colazzi, and today is Sunday, April the 21st, 2024. It's the fourth Sunday of Easter. It's also known as Good Shepherd Sunday. And our reading is from the gospel according to St. John. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." So there are certain passages where Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd and we are the sheep. And this is one of those passages. And it's very beautiful, and it's one of the key passages where Jesus describes himself. Who is he and what is his role? If we think about a shepherd and sheep, the shepherd takes care of the sheep. The shepherd leads the sheep to places where they can graze and rest. The shepherd keeps the sheep together. They hear the voice of the shepherd and they follow that voice. Sheep are not independent creatures. They need each other. They need each other's body warmth. They need the wool, but I mean, they do get sheared from time to time and we make things with that wool, but they need the warmth of the other bodies around them. If a sheep gets lost, first of all, they have, you know, you've heard the expression, pulling the wool over your eyes. Well, they don't see very well and they don't see very far. So they take note of who's around them, which sheep are around them, and they follow the crowd. They follow the flock. This isn't like a secular following the crowd, though, because this is the flock that's led by the shepherd. These are not sheep out in the wilderness. These are sheep following the shepherd who leads the flock, who keeps them all together. And if a sheep gets lost, he needs to lead the flock. He or she needs to lead the flock, leave the flock, and go out in search of the one. And very often that one becomes very scared and very helpless, and the shepherd needs to carry that sheep back. And so this is how the Lord deals with us. He leads us, he gives us his word so that we recognize his voice. Sometimes we go far from the flock and he needs to carry us back. He strives to keep us together going in the same direction. And there's a reason for that. It's so that we can be fed. And in this passage, he talks about laying down his life for the sheep. This goes hand in hand with our understanding of the Eucharist. The Eucharist is the body of Jesus broken for us, the blood of Jesus shed for us. Jesus was put to death so that he could feed us for eternal life and give us food that would not perish, give us food that would give us life eternal so that we will not perish, so that we will always be members of the flock for eternity. So today, it's also I forget the exact name of it, but it's a Sunday in which vocations are to be promoted. And I was praying about, what to say about vocations in line with Good Shepherd Sunday. I mean, we could give you theology. I could give you theology of the priesthood and religious vocations and how the shepherd leads the sheep. I just did tell you a lot about the shepherd and how that all works and how a priest and also other religious leaders, but especially priests, become the shepherd of the flock. There's so much in the Bible, and then later in the writings of some of our fathers, church fathers like St. Augustine, about how to be a good shepherd, how to lay down one's life for the sheep, and not simply work for pay, as Jesus says, and not take advantage of the sheep. There have been so many shepherds over the centuries, including those of Jesus' time, that were really wolves in sheep's clothing. So Jesus says it directly about the Pharisees. You lay heavy burdens on the backs of your followers, and you don't help them to carry them. You take advantage of the sheep. You work for pay. When Jesus says that, he's thinking about the Pharisees of his own day. There is an addiction, and I've talked about this before, and it's a common theme. It's a theme today. It was a theme 2,000 years ago, where religious leaders get addicted to their power, but not the sacrifice. They get addicted to the wealth and the comfort, but not the work and all that goes with that work, the patience required and the constant concern for the people and concern for their souls and concern for the truth so that they can truly hear the voice of the Good Shepherd who is Jesus. When we preach the truth, people follow Jesus. People find the Eucharist. They find what they need in the Word and in the sacraments to be fed and in the community. So I was thinking about vocations, and I was just thinking about how the history of the church has taught us that if we're doing things right, meaning we're teaching the right things and we're doing things according to the will of God, we don't need special plans and programs to promote vocations or to promote growth in the faith. We don't need new innovative ideas. We don't need extra committees. It seems like the church is constantly doing all these extra things, meetings and committees and programs, and throwing lots of money at these programs so that we'll get more vocations. We need more nuns. We need more priests in order to keep the machine running. When in reality, when we look at the history of the church, success is there when there is holiness, when there is right teaching, when we are doing things according to what the church has prescribed for us. And so that's true even for pastoral theology. In other words, we're not just talking about preaching the truth of the Bible and the truth regarding the sacraments and morals and prayer. I'm thinking just of the catechism. It's all in there. As Monsignor Malone, my seminary professor, would say, it's all there. It's all in there, as he would wave his two fingers. But he was absolutely right. He was a great teacher. And it's not just about that. It's about following what the church puts out as this is how we're going to do things. For example, the church says St. Charles Borromeo is the patron saint of bishops. And the way he ran his Diocese of Milan is the model for the church. So when a bishop comes along and says, I'm going to do exactly this, what St. Charles did, and he suddenly has all this success, the other bishop shouldn't be getting mad at him and saying, no, he's old-fashioned, we shouldn't be doing it that way. No, the Holy Spirit starts to work when we do what the church has told us to do. Or when the church says St. John Vianney is the patron saint of priests, and therefore if you want to be a good pastor, you need to imitate him. Well, what did he do? He did things a certain way. And whenever priests imitate St. John Vianney and other great priest saints like him, they have lots and lots of success. What happens, though, is that others get jealous and they say, oh, look at that guy. What a loser. What a weirdo. Look at what he's doing over there. That's so old-fashioned or whatever. But in reality, he's got success. Why does he have success? Because God blesses obedience. God blesses those things that he has put out for us to do. This is why Jesus says, the Father loves me because I lay down my life for the sheep. In other words, the love of the Father and the Son goes back and forth between them in total respect, in total obedience, in total deference, in total love, in sacrifice. The Father makes a sacrifice by sending his Son. The Son makes a sacrifice by dying on the cross and by living among us and doing all the work that he did. I'm thinking of a line. I don't know how many of you have seen the Godfather movies, and I'm not saying in order to be a good Catholic, you must go watch them. Although they're some of my favorite movies. They're well-made movies, And in Godfather 3, I know if you are a Godfather fan, you might be thinking, 3 doesn't count because it was nowhere near as good as 1 and 2. But hey, if I were to list the best movies ever, 1 and 2, 1 is in the top 10 movies ever, 2 is in the top 20 movies ever, so big deal, 3 isn't up there with them. But yeah, I would still put 3 in one of the top 100 movies ever, okay? But anyway, in Godfather 3, one of the bad guys, they're all bad guys because it's about the mafia, but one of the guys that's not going along with the Corleone family, he turns out to be one of their enemies, but they don't know this yet. He says, all of our ships must be sailing in the same direction. And later, Michael Corleone, played by Al Pacino, brilliantly repeats that line from that other guy. All of our ships, they're trying to work out a business deal, and not everybody's agreeing. And ultimately, all kinds of horrible things are going to happen because they're not agreeing. But he makes this point, all of our ships must be sailing in the same direction. This is how it works in the church. And you know what? When we're all moving in the same direction, there's vocations. Isn't that amazing? We don't have vocations right now. You know why? Because everybody's moving in different directions. Everybody thinks, I know better. I'm going to do it this way. No, I know better. I'm going to do it that way. When in reality, the church teaches clear teachings. The Bible teaches clear teachings. The church, even if you have certain bishops and even popes that might say in an interview or whatever, I'm thinking of this or I'm thinking of that, and it sounds a little bit off. The reality is we have the catechism, and it's a unified expression of the faith that's been there all along. Maybe there's a little issue here and there that needs further reflection as the centuries go by, because new things happen in the world. But still, if we're all moving in the same direction, and specifically, you want to know what that direction is? Worship of the Father through the Son and the Holy Spirit, through the intercession of Mary, receiving the sacraments, baptism, then when we sin, confession. This is part of being a Catholic, regularly going to confession, going to church at least every Sunday and receiving communion, if not even more often than that, praying the rosary daily as Our Lady has asked us to do, reading the Bible regularly, some fasting, some penance, some spiritual reading, trying to be men and women that avoid sin and work on virtue. Try to become more virtuous, and trying to help the poor, to help the sick, to help the needy. Trying to do our best to be men and women of kindness and charity. How many people in this day and age will say, we need vocations, and you know what? Well, we need a plan, a program, a committee, a meeting. We need another council, another synod. We need this, we need that. When reality is, maybe the person speaking hasn't been to confession in years. The person speaking is not in the state of grace. The person speaking doesn't agree with church teaching on X, Y, and Z, which means there's no blessing from the Lord there. I'm not saying the Lord doesn't bless people at all whatsoever, but what I'm saying is we must be in the state of grace, to be informed by grace, to be part of that. When we are doing the right things, we see success. Over and over again, it happens. Right now, our parishes are failing. Right now, our schools are failing. Guess what? Let's look at the liturgies and see how they're being done. Well, no wonder God's not blessing that, because they're breaking all the rules in the book in so many cases. Let's look at our schools. What's being taught? Our teachers are teaching all these things against the Catholic faith. Well, no wonder that doesn't receive God's blessing. God's not going to bless something that goes against Him and His plan. All of our ships must sail in the same direction. When the ships are sailing in the same direction, when people are united in the faith, we see good fruits. Jesus says you'll know them by their fruits. Then we see that the youth group grows, the mass attendance grows, even the collection grows. Not that we're doing this for the money, but guess what? When you have more and more stuff going on, you need to pay the bills for the building that where you have the meeting, so you need to turn the heat on. If all we're about is the money, see, this is the thing about the money. If you're focused on the money and you're not focused on the mission, well, then that's hypocrisy, and everybody sees that for what it is. But if you're focused on the mission, then you're doing the good work and the money naturally comes. Because tithing is part of the mission, but we focus on the mission. The primary mission is worship, uniting ourselves with Jesus to worship the Father, and growing as men and women of prayer and virtue ourselves. When the faith is being done right, we see vocations. I remember Archbishop Chaput one time saying, we don't really have a vocations crisis, we have a faith crisis. And so many other good people have said that. We have a faith crisis. When you have faith, you have vocations. They come from it. And then we look at things like the Medjugorje phenomenon. All right, the church is still evaluating it. I'm not trying to jump ahead of the church, but there's got to be something going on there that's good because so many religious vocations have come from Medjugorje. There's got to be something going on there. But, and I'll just say this briefly, I wasn't going to make this another sermon about the liturgy, but when the liturgy was a matter of everybody facing the same direction, everybody praying, the prayers, the structure, the actions of the people and ministers all being about worship, there was great fruit that came from that. There were vocations that came from that, and there still are. The priestly fraternity of St. Peter gets so many vocations all the time, every year. They do everything in Latin. They do the old Mass. When in the new Mass, we're all facing each other, and the new architecture of our churches has the churches built in the round, where we're all facing each other. And the priests, these younger priests nowadays, will complain saying, you know, I learned about worship. I learned about how to lead the people in worship, but now I have to be an entertainer. I have to get up there. I got to be a people pleaser and an entertainer. And people pleasing doesn't work. Anybody that does any kind of psychological work, you know, counseling, things like that, people pleasing must stop. All people pleasing does is damage. I'm not saying helping others. I'm saying like this orientation towards I got to make everybody else happy and therefore I have to compromise all the time. Compromise the right thing to do for myself and others because I don't want people to be mad at me. So the priest becomes, and religious leaders in general, become these people that have to entertain and be pleasant and be pleasing and constantly then receive complaints. Well, I didn't like today's Mass. I didn't like what you taught my kid in the classroom. I didn't like this dinner that you had at the parish because I wanted steak instead of chicken. Now everybody thinks it's their job to complain, and then, well, you didn't do what I said, so I'm going to call the bishop's office. Because why? I mean, so many things go on nowadays where it's all about people pleasing and it's all about, oh no, somebody's complaining, somebody's threatening a legal suit because they didn't get what they wanted for their wedding, for the funeral, for the baptism, for the CCD class. The ships are not sailing in the same direction anymore. Everybody's facing each other and everybody's all confused about what the number one priority is, how we're supposed to do things. Who are we supposed to please now that we're all facing each other? Versus pointing in the same direction, towards the Father. How do we worship Him in the best way possible? And by the way, in that form of worship, the priest is at the head. We let the shepherd lead. And hopefully we have good shepherds that want to lead us in the right direction. And it's not just about the priest being in the leadership role. It's anybody that's legitimately placed in a leadership role. It's the sisters. It's lay people that are legitimately trained and commissioned for their work, sailing in the same direction so that God is worshiped, so that we're all united in our morals and in our moral teachings, in our love for the faith and our love for the unborn. I was thinking just yesterday, I was doing a bunch of leaves. I was with a whole ton of people, and we were just doing tons of leaves at a swim club. And because, you know, the cleanup comes this time of the year from everything that happened during the winter, and how everybody's got a different idea. But when everybody's on the same page as far as we're going to put them on the tarp, we're going to drag them out, we're going to push them a certain way, we're going to roll this thing over so that they all come out into the street right next to the curb so that the truck can come and get them. It's a beautiful thing how quickly you can get your work done. and you know, you push the leaves, you pull the tarp. I don't know if anybody can envision what I'm talking about here, but it's just like the sheep, everybody moving in the same direction. And then as a result, we have good results. Well, it's a little redundant, but yes, this is what happens. When we're going in the right direction, God blesses his church. God blesses faithfulness and obedience. God does not bless disobedience and everybody moving in different directions because this one has an opinion and that one formed a committee and this one has a weekend seminar certificate and therefore she must know or he must know more. The bottom line is, do we want more vocations? Do we want our church to succeed? Do we want to have what Jesus founded that's good for all of us to help us all receive salvation? Then the bottom line is we don't need advertising campaigns. We don't need to be part of, you know, different movements that are all about let's push this agenda or that agenda. Rather, what we need is each one of us moving in the same direction. Each one of us working on our prayer lives, working on our moral lives, each one of us going to confession, each one of us doing spiritual reading, trying to grow in our faith as much as we can, each one of us watching religious movies and TV, reading religious books, listening to religious podcasts, trying to grow in the faith. This is about, it's a spiritual movement. It's not a worldly human movement. It involves human beings. But it's a spiritual thing. And this is what the Good Shepherd is all about. He's trying to lead us to the pastures. How does he try to do that? I just heard somebody talking that I'll read things about prophecy, and I don't want to be, you know, preaching as if prophecy is the same thing as doctrine and dogma, because it's not. People say different things, people have different visions, but somebody in that realm of prophecy was saying, as things get worse and worse and worse, we still have that promise that God will always be with us. God will lead us. God will bless us. And the main things are seeking our solace, seeking protection, seeking comfort, seeking peace, first and foremost in the Eucharist and the other sacraments like confession and the liturgy, the Mass, of course, and secondly, in Our Lady. In Mary's Immaculate Heart, we are promised protection. We are promised orthodoxy. We are promised safety. She has promised that she would never lead us and that she would lead us to heaven using her rosary, using her scapular, her miraculous medal, all these things she's given to the world in order for us to have her motherly protection. So, because she's the shepherdess, just like Jesus is the good shepherd, and she wants to lead us to the better pastures where we can be fed, where we can be safe, where we can be united. Mary unites us into God's holy church, exactly where he desires us to be. So let us today and every day of our lives continue to move in the right direction, the same direction with true believers. And if we doubt where that is or how that is, check out the catechism. Continue to look for good Catholic sources. Have a great day. God bless you.